doesn't mean necessarily that we should do it. What I mean is that we choose not to do it so that another person doesn't get hurt in some form or fashion. Perhaps we could say it like this. Yes, I can. But no, I won't. Let me give you an example. I remember when my Austin, our Austin, was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Although I don't know if that ever really has been the case. But you know, when he was 5 or 6, I suppose, is when he wanted to join the community peewee wrestling league. Now his mother and I, we let him be a part of it. We said, okay. And as he practiced, Mom and I watched. And we learned the ins and the outs of the sport itself. Then came the time for us to be spectators, to sit on the sidelines and to cheer him on. And that, my dear friends, was quite an affair. There were often hundreds of little boys at these tournaments to wrestle, and girls. And they would wrestle, and they would spar for the coveted trophies that the winner would receive in their weight class. But that part about being a parent and a spectator has its moments, both of joy and pride, as well as anger and disappointment. I remember times yelling at the referee because he didn't call on a foul, or he didn't award a point when he should have. Sometimes I'd yell at Austin, get your head in the match. There was one particular time, however, that Austin had to wrestle a girl at one of the region tournaments. And he felt a little funny about that. He kept asking, where am I supposed to put my hands? How am I supposed to wrestle her? And that's This is one of my proudest moments. As a husband, my wife took this little man to the side, and she knelt down, she grabbed his face and looked him square in the eye, and she says, now you listen here, young man. When you wrestle that girl, you take her down just like you take your sisters down. He got in there, and that girl was pinned, boom, just like that. I'll tell you, when she gave him that speech, I just stepped back and watched as she gave him the, you can do this speech with gusto. But you know, as I look back, I wonder if perhaps those were sometimes not the things to do. You know, I heard parents blame players, referees, and even their own kids when one lost to the match. Were they wrong? I don't know. But you know, I don't necessarily know if that's really the problem. So rather, I wonder if perhaps it would have been better that while they certainly can do and say those things, that it would be better if they didn't. Out of love and respect for others as well as the sport itself. That word respect is a very important word, one we don't hear much today. Teaching respect, it impresses that while there are things that you can do, like yell and blame and complain and be obnoxious, you don't do these things, especially in front of others, and especially, I will also add, in front of our youth. But rather, by not doing that, you show our youth and others what good sportsmanship looks like and what respect looks like. So maybe all of us would benefit next week when we're watching the Super Bowl. This is a challenge, I know, especially when the Patriots. the saying, yes, I can, but no, I won't. You know, Paul, that's really the point that he's getting at in his text this morning in his letter to the Corinthian church. He says, now concerning food offered to idols. A text about eating food. Now that sounds a little out of place. Not eating meat? Are you kidding me? But knowing what Corinth was like back then might put some things into perspective. You see, back then, in Corinth, you would find all sorts of temples and shrines to idols and false gods. Okay? They were everywhere. And pagans would bring their animals for sacrifice, and then that animal would be divided into three ways. First, some of the animal would be left on the altar, you know, on the altar to the false god. And then another part of that animal would be retained, okay? It would then be eaten by the people who worshiped there for special meals and banquets, because they often had like banquet halls or large areas where people could gather to celebrate things like birthdays and anniversaries, etc. And then the third part of the animal would actually be taken to the marketplace and would be sold. Now, in fact, for most people, if they are going to eat meat, they most likely would have eaten meat that had been originally sacrificed to an idol before it reached the marketplace. Because that's how the market got much of the meat that it sold. The problem isn't about the consumption of meat, though. It is the problem that the meat being sold and consumed was originally from the sacrifice made to a false god. And some of the members in the Corinthian Christian congregation, they kind of had become a little too puffed up with regards to their own knowledge of God's word and matters pertaining to salvation. Now, since those who were strong in their knowledge knew that false gods are not real gods and that there is only one true God, that meant to them that the meat they ate, regardless of where it originated, was just plain meat. And eating it played no part in drawing them any closer to God, nor pushing them any further away. So they surmised to themselves, we can eat this meat, even at these temples. And for them, they were right. There was nothing wrong in that. But there were some in the Christian church there that were new to the Christian faith, who had previously been involved in these kinds of rituals and temple sacrifices. And their knowledge was immature. Their knowledge of God's word and matters pertaining to salvation was not as deeply rooted in Christ. And they couldn't separate the eating that they were doing now from the eating that they were doing then when they worshiped the false gods. And so for them, their consciences were burdened, and they believed that eating this type of meat would somehow lead them back to the idols and false gods and away from Jesus. And they themselves, it was right for them to not eat that meat. This is where St. Paul steps in. He isn't dealing with idol worship. He knows that's wrong. We know that's wrong. They knew that was wrong. And he isn't dealing with other sins either. Instead, he is speaking about this gray area, and he helps people to see what's really going on here. He says that it's perfectly acceptable to eat meat in your own home, this particular type of meat, in your own home, and in the privacy of behind closed doors. Because you know that false gods and idols aren't real gods. And you don't mean to worship them. But when you are in the presence of other people, what knowledge you have must also be combined with love. And this is where St. Paul essentially says, yes, I can, but no, I won't. Yes, it is okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols, but out of love for the brother or sister in Christ that may stumble, this time you don't. Now here is the question for us today. How do we apply this teaching in our contemporary world? I'll give you an example. Did you know that one out of every six Americans have a drinking problem when it comes to alcohol? One in six. Now, we know that this particular struggle, it extends into families, relationships, and even work. It's also even been linked to heredity. Now, does that mean that because so many struggle with alcohol that it must be wrong to have a beer or a glass of wine? So what Paul tells us in the church is, well, yes, it is perfectly permissible to have a drink, even a couple or a few. But if you know someone is present who has trouble with alcohol, then it is time to say, no, I'm not going to drink an alcohol beverage this time. I'll have water, juice, or Coke. You say no because you don't want to hurt the other person by somehow encouraging that person to take a drink, which could then lead that person falling back into the drinking struggle that they have. Make sense? Sure. You see, that's how it works. I know I can, but for the sake of another, I won't. For my family and I, we have neighbors that live across the street from our house that are all vegans or vegetarians. Okay? And when they invite us over for dinner, we don't take baby back ribs or Jack Daniels cocktail weenies. We just don't. I'd love to, but we don't. Instead, we take a fruit or a vegetable tray. Not because eating meat is wrong, and they know that we consume meat in our home, but out of respect for them. See, there's that word again, respect. We abstain from meat around them. And quite frankly, who knows? I mean, maybe, at least me personally, would benefit from eating a few more vegetables and a few less. I'm due in about 2 months. But a few glass baby back ribs. You see, certainly there are times that we have exercised our Christian liberties without the intent of hurting others. And chances are that we've probably even done it without even knowing that we did. And I'm also pretty certain that there are times that we have done it for the sole purpose of just kind of sticking the dagger in a little bit, twisting the knife to hurt the other, because we are sinful. I can do it, and it's my right, so there. But that's where Paul reminds us that even for those that we want to hurt, do you know something? Jesus died for them too, just as he died for you and for me. I mean, imagine for just a moment. I'm willing to guess that most of us don't do this. I know I have. I don't. But imagine if Jesus chose to exercise his freedom by not going to the cross. If Jesus was simply just, but not gracious, that is what he could have done. But his knowledge about how we needed to be saved was combined with his love and compassion. And he goes through the agony and the torture and the bloodshed, allowing himself to be sacrificed for you and me. He is our one and only Savior. And we know him by name, just as he knows us by our name. And by his sacrifice, he forgives us, and he promises us life and salvation with him. And he then feeds us and showers us with his means of grace to give us the strength that we need in order to not only possess the knowledge, but to have that love and to be strong, to be humble, and to be meek, even when at times we want to be puffed up instead. Paul is telling us today to eat meat. Paul is also telling us today to not eat meat. Truthfully, this has nothing to do about meat. It's about love. It's about respect. It's about humility. We all have been given the gift of freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. But in that freedom, Paul urges us to exercise it carefully and responsibly. Let us not assert our rights simply because we have the right, but in love, do what we can to keep our brothers and sisters in Christ from stumbling into some sin. So just because I can, because of Jesus and my love for my neighbor, this time, I won't. So God be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I invite you to stand as we pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people.